at the same time, see if it'll work. Still good? Okay. So he said, Paul says in chapter 7, "Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives?" All right. Now, why doesn't the law have authority over you? You're alive. You've got to find out, and this has got to be clarified for Christians. You've got to find out about that knife edge of faith that you're walking on. And it really is a knife edge. What's the power of your balance on a knife edge? We know it's impossible for a man to walk on the edge of a knife without getting sliced in half or cut or falling off, right? But when you're walking by faith, you're walking on a knife edge. You're walking in a way that you could sway back and forth either way or be cut in half. But if you're, you know, it's just like Peter walking on the water. What kept Peter above the water? And then why did he sink? See, and this is exactly faith, and this is what you got to deal with every day. Because through faith, you are dead with Christ. Because the minute that you live according to your flesh and start sowing to that nature, you are under the law, aren't you? That law has authority over you as long as you live in the flesh. But we consider ourselves crucified with Christ, right? The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin should not be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. And this is where the once saved, always saved, the eternal security people and all of these other people miss the point. They miss the point because the minute... See, let me add this about once saved, always saved. The minute that they say that they're saved and they're done and that there's nothing more to do and that nobody can take them out of Jesus' hands and they can't lose their salvation no matter what happens... Right? The minute that they get that attitude, do they think they need Jesus anymore? Do they think that it's important that they continue to have to walk with Him, to walk with Him in faith? See, that's the thing about faith. If faith has been fulfilled, if you've been saved, you've got no reason for faith anymore. And therefore, you have no reason for a Savior. You're saved. You're done. What's going to happen to those people? Automatically. When they cop that attitude that this doctrine helps them cop. They're not going to be walking in faith anymore, are they? And so what nature are they going to be walking by? They're going to be walking by the nature of the flesh. They're going to fall right back into it. And then they're going to be under the law, aren't they? Is that true or not true? Faith has got to continue. I want you to see this comparison. It's so important. You know how we talked about Adam as a man before he sinned, when he lived in the... See, there's a difference in Adam's life when he was still a man of flesh and blood, just like you and me. But there's a difference before he sinned and after he sinned. Now, it's probable... It's very probable that Adam wasn't any different at all whatsoever from you and me. At all. Nothing. But you see, there was no law in the garden to convict him but the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was no law. He had one commandment. Well, you've got a lot of commandments that show you you're a sinner, right? I want you to think about Adam. He didn't have the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, did he? There was nobody to commit adultery with. Let me ask you, if there had been another woman besides Eve there in the garden, do you think it's possible that Adam might have lusted after her? Had there been another woman before Eve, or with Eve, but you know what? It still wouldn't have been sin, even if he had of. And, you know, I'm adding people here that don't exist. And I'm cognizant of that. But bear with me. Even if he had of, even if he had, there had been another woman there, and he'd have committed adultery on his wife, it wouldn't be considered adultery. You know why? Because there was no commandment. There was no commandment. There was no law that said, thou shalt not commit adultery. There was no law that says, thou shalt not steal. There was nobody to steal from himself but himself. But let me ask you, if there had been somebody else there to covet their goods, or even their relationship with God, is it possible Adam would have coveted that? But there's no law at that point, thou shalt not covet, is there? There's no law. You notice what the first thing that happened is between Cain and Abel? Because there was more than one man. I'm proving my point now about the other woman, even though there was no other woman. The first time you get there's two men on the earth instead of just one, what happened? Coveting. Huh? Coveting. But there was no law against coveting. There was no law. And where there is no law, there is no sin. In other words, the law convicts us of sin by showing us that the motives of our heart are corrupt. Adam had nothing in the garden to show him that he was a temporary person, the way he was. And you see, Adam, the way he lived, he didn't have eternal life of himself. He was renewed by God every day. Remember we talked about that fruit being in the tree. As long as the fruit abides in the tree, it's nourished every day, right? It's renewed every day. But the minute the tree flings its fruit, what happens? It begins to corrupt. And we can see that picture in Adam, huh? He was cut off from God and began to corrupt, huh? Because of one commandment, which identified sin in him. See, that doesn't mean sin wasn't in him already. That doesn't mean that his nature wasn't a corruptible one. Obviously, he was corruptible because he corrupted, didn't he? But sin was pointed out through that knowledge of the tree of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil. He had one command and he broke it. One. Just one's all it took. And him and Eve both broke it, didn't they? See, he quit trusting God is the whole point of this. See, before he was dependent upon God. But through that fruit of that tree, knowledge, he was taught to question about whether or not he could live life as for himself without being dependent. And he found out the hard way he couldn't. But you know what? That's necessary. It's necessary for us if we are going to ever progress. Mankind, period, had to come to the realization that without God we're lost. You know, it's just like a baby. Just like one of your children. When your child first comes out of the womb, he's dependent. He or she is dependent on you, aren't they? They're dependent on you. Hold me, feed me, change my diaper, sing me to sleep, rock me, and they scream bloody murder every time they have a need. Right? They're completely dependent. But they reach a certain point, a lot of people call it the terrible twos, when they start to defy you. Right? All it takes is get a little energy in them hands and feet and legs and mouth and being able to reach out and grab stuff to where they don't think they need you anymore. I mean, they find out real quick when they do something that hurts them, that they do need you. And they'll come running to you. But can you see that that same kind of progression took place with Adam? Adam walked in the innocence of dependence upon God until that innocence ended. Until it was called into question whether or not he needed God. Can you see that? And the pride of knowledge does that every time. The pride in what you can do will convince you that you don't need anybody. How many have been there? How many of you have been there? You know, when kids reach to be about 17, between the ages of, say, 16 and 22, 23, you know, kids are just absolutely, how do you say it? They're brilliant. They're brilliant. They know everything. They're just absolutely brilliant, man. They just know everything. You're suddenly a dummy. Right, they've reached the age of infinite wisdom. I don't need you, I don't need mom, I don't need to follow the rules. I can go out and get life for myself and do my own thing. And it takes them a while to come out of that. Can you see that this is what happened with Adam and Eve? And can you see that that day had to come? They could no longer stay in that garden than they could in the womb. They can no longer stay in that garden than your children can in your house. There comes a time when the tree must fling its fruit. And this pattern is in everything, isn't it? It's in the tree and the fruit, it's in you and your children, and it was with Adam in the garden, wasn't it? That time has to come. How can we be so blind about what happened in the garden when we know from all creation around us that that time comes for everybody and every creature and every seed? Right? Doesn't it? If that time comes for everything in creation. The child has to leave the womb. The kids have to leave the house. The fox cubs have to leave the hole. Right? And Adam had to leave the garden. Well, there's another transition here. See, we're in a bigger garden, of which Eden was only a picture. We're in a bigger womb, of which Eden was only a picture, and which a woman is only a picture. We're in a bigger womb, and guess what? The time is coming for us to leave it. You know, what happens if a baby stays too long in the womb? I want you to think about that. If a baby stays past the time he's supposed to come out. Those of you women, you know, I know, because my son was a month overdue. I know, the doctor told me. Yeah, they die. The longer they stay in, the more certain it is that they're not going to live. And what will happen to them if they die in the womb? If they don't do this special operation to remove them? They will actually be absorbed back into the mother's body, won't they? They get what's called a DNC done. You know, how many of you have seen that's happened with a lot of animals? They have some pigs or they have cats or something that's stillborn. They actually get reabsorbed. And the point is, if they don't come out, they're never coming out. You know what I mean? Isn't that a lot like the earth? There's coming a time when we're going to have to leave this. Well, there comes a time when you must see, you got this twofold thing. There came a time for mankind to leave the garden, and there's going to come a time for mankind to live the bigger idea of the garden, right? This earth. There comes a time when we're going to have to leave the physical. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Any more than you can go through this life with an umbilical cord attached to your mother. Like a spaceman. Living in a world you're not ready to live in. Pretty soon, that silver cord has got to be severed. Right? That's what it tells us in Ecclesiastes 12. The pitcher is broken at the well. The water returns to the stream. The silver cord is severed. Pretty soon, you have to leave the garden of this earth. And guess what? You leave it through death. You're in a womb, man. Coming up out of the grave is coming out of the womb. And all of creation waits for the revealing of the children of God. Well, if you right now, you see, it's twofold, just like coming out of mankind had to come out of the garden, and then he's going to have to come out of the earth, right? Well, you came out through faith, that's like coming out of the garden. You came out of sin through faith, and you died to that old way of life, right? Well, eventually you're going to have this body and everything is going to have to leave out of the bigger picture, isn't it, of the garden. Do you see those two things? Just like Adam had to become a, mankind had to come out of the garden, and then he had to come out of, he has to come out of the earth. Level by level. So you had to come out of the sin nature through faith, and then you're going to have to come out of the sin nature all the way. Bodily. Right? You're going to have to come out of this womb. You're going to have to come out of this garden. You're going to have to go. So we're talking about what law are you walking by? Are you walking by the law of the womb? Where was the commandment given to them? It was given to them in the garden. I want you to notice something here. After Adam and Eve sinned and got tossed out of the garden, could they go back in there and take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Could they? No, they couldn't go back. Well, once you came out from under the law, can you go back? Once you come into the knowledge of Christ and have received the Holy Ghost, can you go back? Can you go back and live under the law? You can't go back, can you? Why do we have so many people trying to go back? When you come out of Egypt into the wilderness, could you go back? When you come out of the basic rudiments of this world into the spiritual, can you go back? When water gets turned into wine, can it go back to water? No, it only goes to vinegar. See, every day you've got to decide through faith what you are of. Are you of the Spirit? Or not? You can't go back. There's nothing to go back to. You can't go back to living according to the flesh. Let me ask you, could you, even if you tried, could you ever escape your conscience and the knowledge of what you have? Adam and Eve couldn't, could they? Just like a baby cannot go back into the womb. What did Nicodemus ask? Can a man go, what do you mean born again? Can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus told him, no, it's levels, Nicodemus. Just like I'm telling you now. It's levels. unless you're born of water and the Spirit. See, one is a picture of the other. You go through the physical birth and then the spiritual. It's not two physical births. So what are all these law keepers doing? What are they doing? They're trying to go back, aren't they? All these people who are Christians and think they get brownie points for acting like Jews, they're trying to go back to something that they're banned from going to. They can't. They can't enter in there. You either continue on in life or you're done. You're dead. And that law, if you're under that law, you're condemned to death. Just like a baby that can't get out of that womb. He's condemned to death. If you cannot get out of this world, you're condemned to perish with it, aren't you? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. By law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. She can't go back to her husband. He's dead. She needs a new husband. Well, you cannot go back to your sin nature, to Adam. You need a new husband, Christ. Right? If a woman leave you and marry another man, could you go back to her? Or would the land be greatly polluted? Ooh, that's what it says, huh, in the scripture. Ooh. I'm trying to impress upon you the importance of going forward. Forward, not back. You can't stay where you're at, and you can't go back. You've got to grow. That's all that's left to you, is to grow. You can't stay an ignorant person, right? You can't stay a child. You've got to grow. And it's time that we started doing that. It's time that we started going forward. Instead of going over the same routines every day, it's time for us to enter into that communion truly and go forward together as a body. This is one of those messages that the body of Christ needs to hear. They need to understand they have died to the law. They did that by faith so that when the reality comes, they know what, you know, one's a foreshadowing of the other, isn't it? You dying by faith right now is a prophecy that you're going to die by the flesh. Isn't it? That's why you consider yourself dead now. It's God calling things that are not as though they were. You believe God. That's faith. God calls you dead. Right? It may differ from what you see in the mirror, but you consider yourself dead. And the reality of faith must become greater than what you see in that mirror. Because you know what? Whether you continue walking in faith or not, that reality is going to come. You're going to die. You can't go back. You see what I'm saying? How many of you really see this? When you became a Christian, this is what you proclaimed. This is the truth of your life. You are dead. It is no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. And you've got to start living in that truth of faith. If you ever hope to see it, hope to see it materialize in the resurrection of the dead. If you ever hope to see that truth manifested, you've got to start walking in that life now. In that realm of the Spirit where we move and breathe and have our being. You've got to count yourself dead every day. You've got to die every day. So that you can grow and be renewed every day. What does that sound like? Isn't that what happened with Adam in the garden? See, you can go to a dependence now upon God in that bigger sense of the garden, huh? Every day, God renews you until it's time to leave the bigger garden. Huh. You can walk in dependence upon God. And when Satan comes and tries you to get you to exist by your own knowledge, to get you to eat of that tree that you must not eat of, that knowledge brings nothing but death. Are you going to walk according to the law and make your own decisions like Adam and Eve? Or are you going to walk in dependence upon God, walk by that nature of Christ, in humble dependence on God's thinking? Did you not learn anything from the first time around? Isn't that the question? Is what has mankind learned now from Adam that we would do the same thing in Christ? What have we learned? We learn that when we're seduced by the ways of this world and the flesh and knowledge and the pride of life, that we must continue in dependence upon God and not partake. Because the minute we try to stand on ourselves and our own ideas, we will die. The minute you buy into it that you're the God of your own universe, you're going to die. Only this time you won't get cast out of the garden into a different realm. you'll be cast out into death forever. You see, how many of you see this, how this works? Isn't that the way you were supposed to live right now as a Christian? Independence upon God? Like a fruit in the tree? Until when? Until the tree flings its fruit, and then until you actually die. Till your body actually drops down in the ground and rots. Until then, you live in dependence upon God, don't you? And that's the only way that you can enter into the next stage, huh? See, the figures are all there. This is what abortion is a picture of, because I'm telling you, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who call themselves Christians who are being aborted every day. And Satan and the religion of men are the abortionists. They're being aborted every day. They're turning back. They will not come out of the grave. They will not come out of the womb. You see what I'm saying? Right now, you are pregnant with the life of God. And many people's pregnancies are being ended, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? We cannot go back to those fleshly, weak and beggarly elements and pictures. We must go on to what was pictured. We must leave the temporary and go on to the eternal. We must count it all done for the greatness of what we are receiving. And maybe that's the problem. They're blind to what it is that they're promised. Maybe that's it. But we cannot afford to be. We're going to talk more about this as time goes on. I just wanted to lay a few things down. Understand what being dead is by faith. It's got to become more real to you than just words.